Wow, what a powerful time we've already had this morning. Amazing worship in the presence of God. We can feel His Holy Spirit here this morning. And let's just give thanks now for our offerings. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the money that You have blessed us with from Your blessings to then bless again others. We ask that as this money goes overseas, that it will be a blessing to those that receive it and the work that can be done there. We thank You again, and we thank You that Your Holy Spirit is here, Father, with us now. We just ask that with the message today that You will speak to each of us in our hearts about the thing that You are wanting us to take away from today. In Your name, amen. Okay, we're going to do a little bit of interaction today, but we won't just start yet. Now, this was not the message that I thought I was going to present. This was really last minute and feeling this is what the Lord was saying. So, yes, we'll see how we go. So, we're looking at Psalm 34, 1 to 22. This is a Hebrew acrostic poem. Each verse begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Let's just look at some of the background before we move into the psalm. This is when David is running from Saul. He goes to Nob to see Ahimelech the priest and then finds himself before King, I don't know how to say this, Ishish of Gath, where some of the king's men are talking and saying, "Is this not King David? Saul has killed his thousands and David has 10,000s. David hears these comments and becomes afraid of what the king might do to him. So he then proceeds to act insane and the king sends him away. You can read about this account in 1 Samuel 21, 1 to 15. Psalm 34 is what David writes after that encounter. On your tables is Psalm 34, and it's the Passion Translation. So at the moment, I want us to take time just to look at verses 1 to 7. And in these verses, we're looking at things David talks about and what he does to declare the Lord's blessings in his life and the life of a believer. So you've each got some coloured pens, so if you want to highlight or circle words or whatever, we'll just do a few minutes with that. And then Bill's going to come round with microphone and we're going to just see what we've all found and what's popped out to us within those first seven verses. Unmute my. While those who are finishing, who would like to go first with some things that they found in the scripture?
No, it's all right. I had it muted. That's all right. Okay. So the first one that I was in the middle of verse 3, it was just four words, "Let's make him famous." I thought that was just a really cool way of, you could see David's really excited for those, you know, first four verses, and then that's his kind of, "Let's make him famous." I thought, yeah, that's really cool. I like that.
All the microphones here. Couple of ones that I underlined. Yeah. So the verse 1, "Lord, I'm bursting with joy over what You've done for me." And then second part of the second verse, "So let all who are discouraged take heart." Yeah, so they just stood out to me.
Thanks for that.
Yes, I underlined... Pardon me. I'm bursting with joy over what you've done for me, because I counted it up, 55 years that since I gave my life to Jesus, and he's done so many wonderful things in my life over all those years. And, whenever I've cried to God in distress, and there have been different situations in life when there's been distress, he always answers and he frees from all my fears.
Anyone else? Okay. Well, I've got a few things that I picked out as well, and I thought we'd just go through, because we'll do a little bit more again in this second bit of this scripture. So David's bursting with joy over what the Lord has done for him. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In what you have done for us as a sinner, and the joy of knowing your care and protection that is with us always. Jesus, thank you for becoming Emmanuel. God is with us. And we see that in Matthew 1:23, where it foretells Jesus coming. It's because of you that I can experience true joy. Then we go, lips of full... What's that word? Sorry, I'm gone blank. Perpetual praise. Sorry. Tongue-tied today. In Ephesians 1:3, we find all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. And then Hebrews 13:15, therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. There are many in the Psalms, these being a few. Psalm 35, 28, 43, 4, 92, 1, 104, 98, 1, and 103, 1 to 5. There are many more, but these are just some that we can take away and have that knowing of God's presence and the blessing in our life. As we go through about our day, we are praising him. Boasting of you and all your works. In 1 Corinthians 1:13 and 2 Corinthians 10:17, both say, therefore, as the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. I think sometimes that's a challenge for me, and just remembering that that's what we're here for, to boast about the Lord and not think about other things that often we might raise up. Galatians 6:14, as for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of Jesus Christ. So here we are telling those we come in our daily walk about Jesus. I had a situation of this last Thursday. I was walking up to the shops to get some lunch with a colleague, and we were talking about religion versus Christianity. And she always says, oh, everyone's religious, but she also knows my daughter, Misha, and she said, oh, she's a Christian, isn't she? And I said, yes, I'm a Christian too. And you know, the difference between religion is something that people do, but they do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I said, they don't understand that he has died for their sins so that we can live again. And she goes, oh, okay. So the difference, there is a difference. I said, oh, there's definitely a difference. And so we just let that with her, but we have discussions now and again, and it was like, and she does now and then when she looks at things, she phrases, oh, that's a Christian compared to religion. And I said, yes. So every time we just get a little bit deeper in that conversation. So That was exciting for me because I don't always feel that bold at times, but I thought, I'm just going to go for it today. So that was exciting for me, and I was really excited in the way that she took what I said and took it on board, which was really great. All who are discouraged, take heart. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Also, Psalm 55, 22. Give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. I think sometimes when we're in the midst of turmoil and not knowing what is happening, sometimes we forget those things, that God is there for us. He's there holding out his hand, waiting for us to just take his hand and walk through what we're going through with him. Tell of the Lord's greatness. John 1:14. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Here we see again about this to be a lifestyle that we are to be engaged in, where all our conversations are on him. That might not have been that we are talking directly about Jesus, but we are weaving in the godly principles that we know in our own lives work and telling people about Jesus. We might not be saying this is about Jesus, but we weave those godly principles into our conversations. And I've seen this time and time again at work where I weave in godly principles into a situation and it changes the whole thing at work. And I realise that all of us have a place within our sphere of influence within the community where we can make a difference for Jesus. And it's not necessarily always giving that full message, but it's using the godly principles that we have and we live by to infect into a conversation or a situation that godly things will come out of that. Exalt his name together. Didn't we do that today? Wasn't it fantastic worship? It was amazing. Psalm 151. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heaven. As we come together as God's family, may we praise and honour him today and in each day in our lives. Pray to the Lord. He answers. I'm sure everyone here can testify the answer to prayer. Psalm 107:6. Lord, help. They cry in their trouble, and he rescues them from their distress. Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. That's one thing that I value with our church fellowship here. We're a fellowship of prayers. And that is amazing because not all churches are like that. And I just want to say thank you to all of you as this congregation for your prayers for everyone and the things that we pray about. And I just know that the Lord is going to bless us as we keep walking through our monthly prayer walks as well. I just feel there's a sense that we're close to something really happening. He freed us from all our fears. John 8:32. And you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Romans 8, 1 and 2. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. 1 Timothy 1, 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but the power, love and self-discipline. Gaze upon him. Join your life with his. The joy will come. Faces will glisten with glory. You'll never wear that shame face again. Romans 15, 13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. What an amazing thing for us to hold on to and know that our hope is in Jesus. That he is there all the time. The power that he releases within us to then go out and share the gospel. We have the angel of Yahweh who listens as we pray, encircling, empowering me, shows me how to escape. He does this for those who fear the Lord. Proverbs 9:10, fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. In the verses 1 to 7, David writes words of thanksgiving that celebrates the Lord's care for and protection of those who are suffering and following God. We see God's goodness to us in our situations when we fear the Lord and look to him for direction. He meets us and shows us the way out of our predicament. Now, we're going to go back to our scriptures and we're going to do from verse 8 to 16. And we're just going to see what pops out to you about the wisdom of God and how his part of it, his goodness again, but the wisdom of God that is also within these verses. Okay, how's everyone going? Does anyone want to share? Yep.
My version says for chapter 9, verse 9 says, "Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him will lack nothing." Seems to me the first part is an urgent request. And if you do that, there's the promise that you will lack nothing.
Thank you. My one's, I'm going to pick two little bits of scripture. Were we supposed to go to verse 16?
Yep.
I'm going to 17, sorry.
That's okay.
Two things. When it comes to wisdom, the Lord sees all we do. He watches, verse 15. He watches over his friends day and night. His godly ones receive the answers they seek whenever they cry out to him. And a bit of verse 17, the Lord will hear them and come to rescue them from all their troubles. The wisdom comes from him. It's not innate in the person who actually is wise. It's the fact that they're connected with the Father and the Father's telling them what they need to know. That's where the wisdom comes from.
Yes, at verse 15, the Lord sees all we do. He watches over his friends day and night. His godly ones receive the answers they seek whenever they cry out to him. And it's just that concept of being a friend of God. And I spend the odd hour or two at night, 3 o'clock-ish, whatever, awake. But I don't get frustrated by that. I just turn to God and say, well, here's what I got on my mind, and bring things before him. And it's not wasted time.
No. Anyone else?
Verse 8, taste and see that blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Taste and see. You know, sometimes God's word can taste like sweetness and it's, you think, oh, yes, that's good. And then sometimes it can be strong and hard to digest sometimes. So that really blessed me.
Well, the Lord's wisdom is, he asks us to come, children of God, and listen to me. So when we come and listen to him, well, he's got the best wisdom, isn't he?
He has. Great, thanks for that. So we see we are to drink deeply in the pleasures of God. Experience joyous mercies he gives us as we take refuge in him. In Psalm 108:8, it said, "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than trust in people." Oh my goodness, isn't that so true? Many a time you put your trust in someone and we'll always usually get let down. And that's just because we're sinful beings and everyone has other priorities. But with the Father, that is not the case. He is there. He's always there and we can always trust in him. Ephesians 2:4-5 says, "But God is so rich in mercy that he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave his life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that we have been saved." Worship in awe and wonder, all you who have made holy, fear of the Lord, those who fear have all they need. In Psalm 112:1, it says, "Praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands." Psalm 115:12 says, "He will bless those who fear the Lord, both great and lowly." Isn't that fantastic? That it doesn't matter where we're at, what social caste or structure we're in, or where we are within our lives, the Father takes us as we are into his family. Such a blessing. Even strong and the wealthy grow weak and hungry. Those who passionately pursue the Lord will never lack any good thing. Psalm 62:1-2 says, "I wait quietly before God, for my victory comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will never be shaken." Sometimes we think, oh, okay, well, I feel like I'm lacking in this area. And sometimes we have to go back and have a look and think, is that me wanting this, or is that what God's wanting for me? So sometimes we think we might be lacking in an area, but we're actually not. God has given us what we need at this time. Come, children of God, and listen to me. Fear the Lord. In John 10:27, it says, "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Isn't that the whole thing about fearing the Lord? It's being there on our knees, waiting to hear from him, having the Holy Spirit speak in that small, still voice and speak to us about what we have been laying out to God as our issues or things that we're concerned with, and he speaks to us and answers. Do we want to live a life that is long, good life, beauty that fills each day? In 2 Corinthians 4:16, it says, "This is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying," which as soon as you're born, your body's starting to die. "Our spirits are being renewed every day." And that's what we said earlier in the service, didn't we? Even Michael actually said, even though our bodies are dying, every day we can be renewed within the Lord. He can give us that joy that we are wanting for our day. And sometimes our days aren't that great, and that joy is a bit harder to bubble up to the surface. But we press in and we look to him, and he will give us that joy that we need to get through our day. Turn away from sin. Practice peace with everyone. A kind word. Matthew 5:19 says, "God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God." And 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times, and in every situation, the Lord will be with you." Now remember, as we've talked about going out and praying in the community and talking to people, and as we're trying to make relationships within the community, how we've talked about we're looking for a person of peace and how important that is in our journey to then bring other people in to talk. And just how important it says here, the Lord's saying we need to practice peace in everything and with everyone. And sometimes that's not easy. You know, sometimes there's that person at work or someone that's in maybe a group that you just find it a bit harder to reach out to them. But the Lord's encouraging us to reach out, be that person, you know, take that extra step and make that person feel welcome. Sometimes those people are the ones that actually don't feel like they have anything to offer. So let's just this week make a point of doing that to see. Right, now in verses 12, I'm sort of backtracking a bit here, but in verses 12 to 16, we look at God's peace, and Peter quotes this also in 1 Peter 3:10-12. And it says, now this is the goal, to live in harmony with one another, demonstrate passionate love, sympathy and kindness towards other believers. Let humility describe who you are as you dearly love one another. Never retaliate when someone treats you wrongly, nor insult those who insult you, but instead respond by speaking a blessing over them, because a blessing is what God promised to give you. For Scripture tells us, whoever wants to embrace true life and find beauty in each day, they must stop speaking evil, hurtful words, and never deceive in what they say. Always turn from what is wrong and cultivate what is good. Eagerly pursue peace in every relationship, making it your prize. For the eyes of the Lord Yahweh rest upon the godly, and his heart responds to their prayers, but he turns his back on those who practice evil. Here we, moving on to verses 15 and 22, here we read how the Lord distinguishes between the wise and the foolish people. He shows his concern for the wise by rescuing them from trouble. In verse 15, it says, the Lord sees all we do. He watches over his friends day and night. His godly ones receive the answers they seek whenever they cry out to him. Oh my goodness, what a promise. Man, we need that every day. It is so good to know that the Lord is in our court. He's there waiting to answer when we seek him. And often he's there before we even actually go to seek him. He is already knowing what we're needing. But he's waiting also for us to come before him and bring that to him. And verse 17, it says, yet when holy lovers of God cry out to him with all their hearts, the Lord will hear them, come to rescue them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to all those hearts that are crushed by pain, and he is always ready to restore the repentant one. Even when bad things happen to the good and the godly ones, the Lord will save them and not let them be defeated by what they face. God will be your bodyguard to protect you when trouble is near. Not one bone will be broken. Here we see the love again of the Father and Jesus just saying, I'm here, I'm waiting. I'm waiting to hear that you come into my presence, to bring all your troubles, all your cares, to come before me and be repentant and tell me of the things that you want to share with me. Let's walk together. Let me be there for you, your protection. So then in verse 21, it says, but the Lord has made up his mind to oppose evildoers and to wipe out even the memory of them from the face of the earth. Evil will cause death of the wicked, for they hate and persecute the devout lovers of God. Make no mistake about it. God will hold them guilty and punish them. They will pay the penalty. This one, when it says the memory of them from the face of the earth, I didn't really understand that. But I was thinking, is that maybe the new earth, that they won't be here? But I thought that is still dramatic. He's saying there will be no memory of those people. Those who have broken heart, with a broken heart, possess a spirit of deep repentance and dependence on the Lord. As we come to God, he hears us and comforts us. In Psalm 51:17, it says, the fountain of your pleasure is found in the sacrifice of my shattered heart before you. You will not despise my tenderness as I bow down humbly at your feet. The wicked hate the brokenhearted in Psalm 109, verse 16, because he never once showed love or kindness to them, but persecuted the poor, the brokenhearted, and the afflicted ones, even putting them to death. We see that all around in the world today, people who are living in their sinfulness and exploiting people within human trafficking, modern slavery, all these different things. And they're people who haven't known the love of God, and so they're doing what they feel is going to benefit them. But we know that that's not what the Father has for them, but they will still have to be accountable. There is always consequences for our actions, and they will become accountable before God. God is the one who heals. In Psalm 147:3, it says, he heals the wounds of every shattered heart. In Isaiah 57:15, it says, the high and lofty ones who lives in eternity, the Holy One, says this, I live in the high and holy place where those spirits are contrite and humble. I restore the crushed spirit of the humble and revive the courage of those with repentant hearts. And once again, it's that whole thing of coming before the Father, repenting of the things that maybe have happened, but also him restoring us to the fullness within Jesus. And what a blessing. As a church, we keep reaching out into our community. As we pray around our neighbourhood, as we talk with those we meet, we are setting a firm foundation in prayer to be able to build on and reach out to the lost and the brokenhearted. And I know that, like I said before, I really feel that there's a sense of something that's going to be happening soon, and we have been faithful in doing this every month, and we have seen some people come. They may not have stayed, but they have come. And I think we just have to keep hanging in there, because the God has something special for our congregation. And I know sometimes that's not easy when our numbers aren't big, but I think there's a richness in God here, and his wisdom that is in each of us here in the experiences that we've had within our walk with God. So the godly might suffer, but the Lord will renew them in the end. Similarly, the wicked might prosper for a time, but ultimately they will perish. In Psalm 1:6 it says, but how different it is for the righteous. The Lord embraces their paths as they move forward, while the way of the wicked leads only to doom. This is the message that we have for the lost, of a father who has since the beginning of time only ever wanted relationship with his creation. He sacrificed his only son to die for us, to cover our sins with the shedding of his blood, as a final sacrifice to once and for all cover our sins. When we come into a relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for all eternity, we see in this psalm that there are consequences for those who do not want to follow Jesus and choose to walk away and treat people in an ungodly manner. But those who choose to follow Jesus, what an amazing life we have ahead of us. The journey that we've already been on within our Christian walk, but the things that the Father is going to take us through to the end of our days, I just find that amazing and such a blessing. May you all have a fantastic week, and thank you very much.